This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it is a special edition of Carlin. We are live from Sportsbook 360 at Resorts World Catskills on an absolutely gorgeous fall day. Giants Raiders coming up at 1 o'clock, and we are taking you right up until 1 p.m. at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We are thrilled to be up here. We're going to have some of our fans who won contests earlier today come by a little bit later on. They're going to be hanging out, watching the show. And let me tell you something. This place is absolutely gorgeous if you have not been up here. An absolutely beautiful setup. They've got TVs everywhere in Sportsbook 360, as they should. They've got a great setup for the betting order, or taking the bets. They've got kiosks. They've got everything you need. So if you're a New Yorker and you're not getting to New Jersey, this is your place to go as far as betting. And they've got the lines out. I've got the betting sheet in front of me. It's as good as it gets across the board. Giants are 3-point underdogs to the Raiders today on the board here at Sportsbook 360. Up at the Catskills at Resorts World Catskills. Thrilled to have you with us. 800-919-3776. We're going to get to your calls. We're going to get to a couple of wagers I've already put in. We'll discuss it all because we want to make some money. But let us start with what is important today, and that's the New York Giants. And look, we get it. There are going to be nothing but all kinds of injury problems that they're going to be dealing with for the rest of this season, whether it's on the offensive line, whether it's Saquon Barkley not knowing when he's going to come back, whatever it is, you're never going to be fully healthy this year with a chance to truly evaluate what Daniel Jones is going to be when he has the full complement around him. You know what I say to that? Tough noogies at this point. Because you're now in the evaluation process as you have been for a while, and you can't keep making excuses as to why you can't properly say whether or not he's the guy. At some point, we have talked about this ad nauseum, and we talked about this a lot when it came to Sam Darnold. If you're a franchise quarterback, at some point, you have to elevate the play of those around you when the situation is less than ideal. And guess what? The Giants situation has been less than ideal for years. Years they have been dealing with injuries. They have been dealing with all sorts of issues. Drama with Odell Beckham. He's creating more drama today. We'll tell you about that in a little while. And they just have never found all of the right pieces to truly have difference makers on offense. They have a couple of guys. You look at the Giants team. They have a couple of guys that you could consider potentially to be great players. Potentially. Leonard Williams is about as close as they get right now to having a great player. You have to stop with the fantasy about Saquon Barkley, because that's all Saquon Barkley is at this point. An absolute fantasy. The more Giant fans continue to put their hopes on when he's going to come back and when he's going to be able to help this offense, even if he's back next week. He's been gone a month already. They didn't put him on IR because they thought it was going to be less than that. And you've got the bye week next week. So if you're talking about 2 weeks from now, you're so far down the road that it almost doesn't matter. And do you truly expect him to be back near 100%? He wasn't near 100% at the beginning of the year. And it takes 2 years to really be yourself off of a torn ACL. Add to that the ankle issue. So Saquon Barkley of 2018 is not walking through that door. That's not happening. So right now you have to understand that Jones is it. And while he is getting a little bit of help today with getting Kenny Golladay back, he's going to have to be able to show that he can elevate the Giants' offense at times when things are not perfect. And that's going to give you a better evaluation of whether or not he's the guy. Can we, in fact, just look at it that way for a second? You know, it is important, as we have talked about, to be able to lift your team when things are not right. Doesn't that give you a truer evaluation in some ways about a guy? About how they perform under adversity, And I know that every quarterback needs time to throw the football. But Daniel Jones, to me, has not proven that he's the guy. He has not proven that he's the guy. A lot of guys can perform when everything is perfect. Stop wishing everything to be perfect. Today's a day where you actually listen to him, or you actually watch him, and you hope he can lift them. Here's a game that is not unwinnable. The Raiders are 5-2, but do they feel like a great 5-2? No. They certainly have had more than their share of issues off the field already, and what happened earlier this week was just a god-awful tragedy, and you don't know how this kind of team responds to everything that's happened to them. So right now, this is an opportunity. We got to stop looking at things like, not negatively, but like they don't have a chance in games like this. They're only 3-point underdogs to the Raiders. That says that on a neutral field, Vegas says these two teams are even. Even. At Sportsbook 360 today, you could bet the Giants +3. But why is it that I have trouble seeing where they're going to win this game? That shouldn't be the case. So let's stop worrying about that and get involved in the process, as they say. Because the process doesn't feel like it's moving along. Be honest with me. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. If you're in the parking lot out at MetLife right now, if you're on your way up to Resorts World Catskills at Sportsbook 360 to play a little action this afternoon, wherever you are, and you're a Giants fan, do you honestly believe that you have the answer on the quarterback yet? And if you don't, how long is this going to continue to be about excuses? How long can you let that be the case? Here's the answer. You can't let it drag on and drag on and drag on. You can't. 800-919-3776. Lines are open right now. We're going to get to the calls here very early. We will check in out at MetLife Stadium with Jordan Ronan at noon. We are here until 1 o'clock at Resorts World Catskills. Going to hang out afterward for some time during the Giant game and watch with fans. You got basically every game you could possibly want that is going to be on here at Sportsbook 360. It is a gorgeous setup. Thrilled, love action on a Sunday afternoon. It's tremendous. Get up here. I've already put down a little bit of action, and I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. Do I feel great about it? I don't, because I never do. But that's why they call it action. I need it, baby. I need it. Let's go. 800-919-3776. Has Daniel Jones shown you that he's the answer yet? That's the question I have for you. We're going to get more into the Jets in a little while, too, and why you have to continue to let White play if he's healthy to go. And that may not feel like it's the right decision, considering the Jets are headed nowhere, but it is not the worst thing in the world for Zach Wilson to sit back and watch. Mike White, at the very least, has earned it. So if he can come back and do it, he has to play. We'll tell you more about why in a little bit. We'll talk about the Mets even a little bit with the fact that they extended qualifying offers to Noah Syndergaard and Michael Conforto. But next, I want to hear from you at 800-919-3776 and find out why you believe that Daniel Jones is the answer or is not the answer. Most importantly, who needs to be doing the evaluating right now? We'll discuss that next. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
You ever see a guy eat an 8-pound shepherd's pie?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Bullshit. 800-919-3776. Carlin on a Sunday. Right up until kickoff of the Giants and the Raiders at MetLife Stadium. We are live from Resorts World Catskills at Sportsbook 360. Pumped up to be out here today. Put some wagers in a few minutes ago. We'll talk about that. This New York City Marathon update brought to you by TCS, Tata Consulting Services. Okay, already today on the women's side. Perez Jepchichir from Kenya is the women's pro winner. She was the gold medalist over in Tokyo. Madison De Rosario of Australia wins the women wheelchair. We'll get you the rest of the updates and winners as they are becoming available. It is 800-919-3776. Let's hit the phone lines right now and get your answer to the question. Is Daniel Jones the guy? And if he is not the guy, what does he have to do to prove it to you here? Considering that he does not have a perfect scenario. Matthew in Old Bridge is going to start us off today on 98.7 ESPN. Matthew, what's going on, buddy boy?
Hey, how's it going? Happy Sunday.
Good, how are you? Happy Sunday to you.
Good. So, full disclosure, I'm a Jets fan, but I just feel like there are so many excuses for Daniel Jones. You know, they have some good pieces. Obviously, they're not all there. But, you know, with his, you know, turnover issues and everything else, everyone has kind of looked the other way, I feel like. And, you know, they have some good pieces there, and they should be winning some of these more close games. But
let me ask you something. As a Jets fan, doesn't this feel a little familiar?
Yes, it does.
With what you just went through for the last 3 years of consistently, like, well, they don't have anybody around them. Well, they don't have anybody around them. Well, they're hurt. Well, they're this. Well, they're that. But at the same time, you need to see if he can elevate other players without having a perfect lineup each time in and out. And what are we seeing in Carolina right now? That's not really happening with Sam Darnold. So if it can't happen, maybe that's kind of the answer to it.
Exactly. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Baker Mayfield situation right now. Obviously a little different, but I feel like Baker Mayfield's also getting excuses when he has, you know, these good pieces around him. And really, you know, it's hard to judge these quarterbacks unless, you know, like we saw in Carolina, they really kind of get a chance. And then, you know, Sam Darnold got exposed a little bit. So you know, who knows?
Let me ask you something. Do you feel that Jones is the guy?
No, I don't think so. I don't know what the answer is, but I just don't see him being a franchise quarterback. I don't see him being able to win those big games to carry a team that might not be perfect, to your point. Because,
Here's what he feels like, Matthew. Thanks for the call. He feels like a career tweener. A guy that's capable of starting for a team with a lot of good things around him, capable of winning potentially in that scenario, or a guy that is just kind of around. That when a team does not have their franchise quarterback, that they're going to bring in. Not saying he's Ryan Fitzpatrick, but maybe he's a little bit closer to that. Not throwing all the interceptions and all that kind of stuff, okay? What I'm talking about is just middle of the road. Meh. Not anybody that's special. Maybe even a career backup. High-level backup. But that's, you know, like having the minor league home run record. It's kind of dubious, isn't it? 800-919-3776. Lines are open. Please tell me why Jones is the guy. Here's Spike in St. Petersburg. What's going on, Spike? How are you, bud?
I'm doing great. To get you is a perk for me on a Sunday, a real pleasure.
I would imagine that it would be.
Yeah. And listen, while you're up there, could you bet the over on a couple of college games yesterday now? I don't think so, right? I'll read that there. Listen, I'm not going to. I just love listening to you do play-by-play. But here's what I think with Jones. I have a thought pattern. It's so close. I couldn't come up with the word, and you did. He's a tweener. And at his best, with the proper line and the proper coordinators, on and on and on, I think he could be 13 to 18. I hate doing rankings. But he shows he has the athleticism. He has the propensity. We know all the downside. But he seems like a really good athlete with a pretty good arm on the long ball. That if all goes well, he will be in the middle of the pack. And at worst, he'll be a career backup. But I think the pick is good. If you're comparing to what the Jets did, that thing at 3-0 swung around faster than I got to go to the toilet sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
It's listen,
crazy.
I do.
I mean, he looks like a good guy and a good athlete. I don't know. He's just a hair short of making quick decisions. Do you see it?
Yeah, I do. And I appreciate the call, Spike. I don't feel at any point like he's just been that good where, while he's had games here and there, it's never been consistent enough, and it's never been where you would feel like he's definitively your guy. Like, it never felt like there wasn't an answer to it. Or it never felt like there was an answer to it, I should say. And that's a real issue, man. How much longer can that be the case? Because you have to stop blaming it on what he doesn't have. You have to start crediting what he does have, trying to help him out, and have, start seeing him actually be able to thrive in that situation. You have to. Because if you don't, then you're just, frankly, living in denial about the situation. When you continue to answer or ask questions, you don't have the answer. Stop looking. At some point, he's going to show himself to have the answer. If I could bet on him today, like, could you bet on that? Is he a franchise quarterback or not? If that was on the board here at Sportsbook 360, I'd be all over that. With a big fat no. Robin and Dobbs Ferry is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Robin, what's going on?
Hey, Chris. I'm a Giants fan listening to a lot of these Jets fans talk about our quarterback. just want to remind everybody that the year that Eli won the Super Bowl, he was considered a bust just a few months before. And when he threw three interceptions against the Vikings. And Dylan, what was it, 5 years? I think it's we don't know yet. I agree with you. There are issues. He has shown some problems with the ball, but so did Eli, you know? So I think we need to calm down a little bit.
Well, here's the thing, though, Robin. The problem with it, and it is something that is very unfair to the current quarterback versus the quarterback of Eli's era, of Phil Simms' era. And that is, these teams, when you were a first-round quarterback, gave you the money up front. Like, they paid a lot of money right away. And now you don't get paid until later, and so they have to make the decision as to whether or not you're their guy and whether or not they want to pay you then. So that actually hurts. It kind of has to speed up the development a little bit.
Why don't you wait until Andrew Thomas is back? And why don't you wait until...
My husband's now commenting.
Clearly he is.
Why can't we wait for it?
because Andrew Thomas is... listen, Robin, thanks for the call, and your husband as well. the problem is you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. I'm not putting this all on him. The Giants aren't 100% where they are because of the quarterback. We get it, the injuries, all of it. I understand. When's Andrew Thomas coming back? When does that happen? You can't continue to just let that be a good enough excuse. You just can't. Because when you do that, you are asking for trouble. You are asking to continue to push back the development of your team. Now, here's the bigger problem. Who should be doing the evaluating right now? We know it shouldn't be Dave Gettleman, okay? Number one, he's not going to see it through clear eyes. He wants his guy to be the guy, so he can't be objective about the situation right now. Number two, do you want it to be Joe Judge? We don't know that yet. We don't know that Joe Judge should be the one doing the evaluating. He's as close to it as you have at the moment. But I have to tell you, if this turns into a nightmare, if the Giants win four games, Is Joe Judge back? God, I hope not. And I know that I understand it may not be fair to him, okay? But you need to wipe the slate completely clean. You can't have the scenario that is so predictable. Bringing in a new general manager, and he didn't pick Joe Judge. And maybe Joe has a little bit of undue influence on who that GM's going to be, but then in a year, Joe's gone. The salary cap's an absolute disaster right now. This whole situation is going to be a teardown at year's end. It's going to be a teardown. I hope like heck that the Giants get off to a tremendous run at some point here. But we're all realistic about it, aren't we? Aren't we? Like, if you had actually gotten 3-5 last week, you could have had the discussion about being able to put it together and make a run at the 7th playoff spot. I hope they play great down the rest of the season. You know what's going to happen? They're probably going to win 4 more games just because that's the perfect in-between spot where you don't know what to do. And then John Mara's going to look at it, well, you know, Joe hasn't had the full complement, and we've had injuries, we've had that. It's the worst possible thing that could happen. Look at the cap. Look at the situation. You have to figure out who's staying and who's going. And the number of players that are going versus the number that are staying, yeah, that's about a 3-1 ratio right now. 800-919-3776. Lines are open. Giants, Raiders coming up at 1. We'll get into the Jets, too, and the whole quarterback situation there in just moments, and why it does have to be Mike White if he's healthy enough to go. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. We are live at Resorts World Catskills at Sportsbook 360. I will tell you a little parlay that I played in just a few moments. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
John Madden, coach games on acid. I just read it on Twitter.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Carlin live up at Resorts World Catskills in Monticello at Sportsbook 360 today until 1 o'clock. Giants Raiders kickoff at 1. And here's why I love the Sportsbook. Just had a gentleman here who's playing Djokovic in the ATP at plus 105 over Medvedev, and he's jumping around like he just hit a 14 parlay. That was absolutely outstanding. God bless sports gambling. 800-919-3776. This is a tremendous setup if you have not been up here. TVs everywhere, plenty of room, a great bar set up. Like, if you have not been up here before, and I had never been here before this morning, it is absolutely fantastic. It is kind of, in some ways, a little bit of a hidden gem up here in the Catskills, and not too far of a ride either, which I was very pleased about. 800-919-3776. Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, what's up, baby?
Hey, Cat Daddy, I gladly trade you 2 New York football franchises for 1 Baltimore today. Oh, my God. It's tough, bro. You know, I'm listening to your conversation about Daniel Jones, and, you know, I was 50-50 on him, like I think as most people were, you know, just from an outside person looking at it. I'm not a Giants fan. But I'll say this, you know, when you talk about the similarities between him and Sam Darnold, in terms of the situation that they're in, there are very stark similarities. I would say that Daniel Jones has a little more talent than Sam Darnold, not only athletically, but I think he throws a prettier ball. But what's scary for you as a fan, or, you know, even as an owner with your franchise moving forward is, you know, Sam Darnold looked the best he looked in his first year. Daniel Jones looked the best he's looked in his first year. So what that leads me to believe is once there's some tape on these guys, you know, it kind of tells you whether you'd want to move on or not. And, you know, lastly is, like you said, you're going to have a new coach here probably next year. And if you don't, that's going to be a dysfunctional situation within itself with a new general manager. As a player, if I was him, you know, you might not want to admit this to anybody, but I've been here, you know, what, 3-4 years now. I'll be on my third coach and my third offensive coordinator. That doesn't really sound like a recipe for success for my career moving forward.
No,
so I probably want to get out of there, you know?
But let me ask this question, though, okay? Let's look at this realistically. When you are a quarterback that is drafted high in the first round, you're drafted high generally because your team has stunk the year before, unless you made a trade. Your team has stunk. Mm-hmm. So that means that if the coach didn't just get fired, there's a good chance the next year he's going to get fired. So you're automatically put in that situation to begin with. Like, give me the last guy that had the same offensive coordinator for the first 3-4 years of his career. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore. I know there's a lot of things that you look at that just aren't recipes for success that add to this. And I truly believe it's not fair to the quarterback, because I do think there would have been some guys that, had they been given more time, 4 years, 5 years, that they would have become great quarterbacks by the time they were 25, 26 years old. But it just is, it's harder to do these days.
Let me throw that question back at you, though, then. Like, on a real term, just, you know, let's look through, I don't know, you know, you got time to do that later, but the quarterbacks who have had 2-3 different offensive coordinators, where's their success rate? Who are they? I mean, immediately comes to mind is, and I'm not saying he's super talented, but it's Baker Mayfield. I mean, you see where that's going. So which one of these guys that went through that kind of situation was able to rise above that? I think that's few and far between, too. So, you know, it is what it is, kind of. You know what I mean? I totally get it.
It's a catch-22. It really is. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. And thanks for the call, Buddha. It's always one of those things that's an incredibly difficult tightrope to walk. Now, when it comes to the Jets and their quarterback situation, if Mike White is healthy enough to play, Mike White should play until he's terrible. And this has nothing to do with Zach Wilson, okay? Zach Wilson is the franchise quarterback of the future. We know this. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world for a guy that has looked completely overwhelmed at times to sit back and watch. Do you honestly think that the Jets are going to equate Mike White playing well with the rest of this season with Wilson not being the guy in the future? I keep going to this, and you guys got to understand, it's a great thing if at the end of the year the Jets have Zach Wilson and Mike White, and Mike White has played well, and they have a real quarterback question moving forward. Because it's not between two bad guys and what's the lesser of two evils. No, then you have to decide, all right, are we comfortable enough with White to truly believe that he can be a guy that we can move into the future with and win with? Or is Zach Wilson truly our franchise quarterback of the future, and we've seen enough to make us believe that? Either way, you're probably trading one of them for a good amount in return. And I got news for you. As we saw the other night, the Jets are still a distance away, and it's still going to take a lot of building, but they have everything they need to continue to build. Guys, I know we all want to know the answer on Wilson. We have to stop putting the same timeline on all of these quarterbacks. They're not all on the same timeline. They're going to come at different intervals. Sometimes guys are great right away. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes it takes a couple of years to learn how to scale it back, to not try to play hero ball all the time, when that is exactly what you have done your entire career, and your intuition is to rely on the talent that you have and your ability in your arm, where in the NFL, that's not going to carry you. Sitting back and watching is not a bad thing. I know Wilson needs reps. I would not play him until White comes. If White is not healthy, that's a whole other thing, obviously. But if White is healthy, he didn't do anything the other night in his two series, one of which was a touchdown drive, that would make you think that he's not the guy. So at least continue to play him until he shows you he's not. Why not? That would be an amazing problem to have at the end of the season. 1140-800-919-3776. Calls, lines are open. We're rolling. We are live from Resorts World Catskills until 1 o'clock today. Kickoff of the Giants and the Raiders. We've got a little parlay that we have played that involves the Giants-Raiders game. It involves the Bengals-Browns game. And it involves the Patriots-Carolina game. Now, let's be honest. Is this card outstanding? No. Is there action? Oh, there's action. That's right. We'll fill you in on that in moments. Keep the calls coming at 800-919-3776.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
The Jays were playing the Blue Jays.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Jacob Perry making it happen back in the studio. Tim Hilmecki with us up here in beautiful Monticello, New York. Resorts World Catskills, Sportsbook 360. Carlin with you until 1 o'clock today. Awesome setup up here. I had a tremendous breakfast at the 24/7 Bistro. Really hit the spot. And I went over and played a little parlay. So here's what we got. Just give it a little taste. For early action today, I played a $50 parlay. Giants plus 1.5. These are all first half. First half. Giants plus 1.5. Actually, apparently I played first quarter on the Giants, and I didn't realize that. So Giants plus 1.5 at the end of the first quarter. Let's get a little 3-0 Giant lead. That'll work. Cincinnati minus 1.5 over the Browns in the first half. And the Patriots minus 2.5 over Carolina in the first half. So that is a $50 bet that would pay, you'd win $255. So we'll see. We'll see. I might play one of those, $10 nine-piece things up here just to see if I can go win 10 grand. 800-919-3776. How about Tony in the Bronx next on 98.7 ESPN? Tony, what's up, big cat?
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. Listen, I'm just going to talk about this Daniel Jones situation here. Listen,
yeah.
has he played great this year? No. Has he been terrible? Uh-uh. You want to say right in the middle? Okay, we rigged you with all that stuff, all that, okay? Yes, I do think he needs to be a little bit. The only thing I have with him is these next 8 weeks will tell the tale of his career. I get it. I just think he needs to be a little bit more aggressive in the red zone. That's probably one of the things I will need to do. But here's the situation with this. Let's look. Is there any other better choices than him right now going to next year? Probably not. I mean, look at the draft. I mean, do you want to take on Malik Liberty Willis out there? I mean, how low will he play in a draft? Not that great. You're high on Sam Howell? I mean, come on, 3-7, the Mitch Trubisky 2.0?
No, I don't think the Giants would go that route. Hang on. I'll let you finish, Tony. I don't think the Giants would go that route. I think they're a lot more likely to try to get involved if Russell Wilson wants to get out of Seattle.
But do you think Russell Wilson want to come and play with that offensive line the way it is?
I don't think so.
It's already bad enough. He's playing out in Seattle. But
I understand, but you have to understand the thing about Russell Wilson. He has also been in a spot where he has not always had great offensive lines, but he is mobile enough to move outside the pocket where that's not as much of a concern. That's his game, is to be outside the pocket.
Okay,
so it's more about having the playmakers, too.
I don't mean the situation. His situation. I would probably lean towards giving him maybe one, Daniel Jones, one more season, See if he can get better than he is right now. If he doesn't, you get your 2023 draft class of quarterbacks right there. You just go get one of those. And if not, if he gets better, so be it. If he regresses or stays the same, you'll get your 2023 draft class.
Well, all right. And then you're going to be comfortable, Tony, and thanks for the call, with waiting another 4 or 5 years. It's a teardown at the end of this year, okay? I truly think that it is. And with that being the case, you have to understand that the ugly word comes into play. What's the ugly word? Patience. Patience. Come on. How long are you going to wait on that? So you have the decision to make after this season whether you pick up the fifth-year option, which is probably around $20 million or so. So if that's the case, and you're looking to figure out whether or not you want to do that, you then have to operate under a different set of rules, because let's say that Jones is the quarterback next year. I think he will be next year. Let's say that Jones is the quarterback next year. If he has a big year and you decide you want to keep him, you're going to have to franchise him and then pay him then. Or you're going to have to pay him $20 million if you pick up the option and he doesn't work out. So which is the risk you'd rather take? It's not close. Not picking up the option on Jones is the way to go, because you just franchise him after that if he actually has a really good season next year. Dennis is in New Jersey next on 98.7 ESPN. Dennis, what's up, baby?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Your previous caller said Tony just stole all my thunder. I agree everything he said. It is tough to find a quarterback. I mean, look at the Miami Dolphins. They haven't had a quarterback since Marino. So it isn't an easy thing.
And Tua's out today, by the way. Go ahead. I said Tua is out today, by the way.
Oh, boy. So, I mean, it isn't easy. I mean, you got to appreciate Eli, but, yeah, like you said, you got to give this guy one more year. And I'm not a Judge fan, but the continuity, you got to give him another year. I know you're saying you might be wasting a year, but you got to give people 3 years. They're having a lot of injuries, I don't know what the alternative is for Daniel Jones. So right now, I would stick with him another year. I mean, like you said, can you get Russell Wilson? I don't know. And the college draft, there isn't any. I mean,
it doesn't look like at least from the outside, it doesn't look like in the draft that there's anybody that is amazing. Oregon, Thibodeau or whatever his name is, that'll tell you exactly how much I've seen him play. Kayvon,
the guy from Mississippi.
Yeah. Coulter, I think his name is. Yeah, I mean, listen, Coltell, I don't know.
You got to go for Arch Manning.
Yeah, that's 4 years from now, thanks for the call. You know, it's all a crapshoot. Being a responsible, I chuckle when I say that. Being a responsible broadcaster, you would think that I could go look up the names of these actual quarterbacks, because it's not being fair to them. Who we got? We got Matt Corral from Ole Miss. We got Malik Willis from Liberty. We have Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh. Sam Howell from North Carolina, who a lot of people liked. The Cincinnati quarterback, Desmond Ridder. And then who is the quarterback from Oregon? I should know this. I know his first name is Kevon. Let's see. Well, Anthony Brown was quarterbacking for Oregon. Anyway, I'll get it straightened out. I know that's thrilling radio. 800-919-3776. The point is simply this. There are not great options coming in the draft. If I can't name the guys, that should tell you. Not that I'm the arbiter of everything that's great and everything that's average, but the point is, we don't have answers on the way because there's not guys getting hyped like Trevor Lawrence was last year. And even Trevor Lawrence hasn't played well this season. Matt in Queens, next, 98.7 ESPN. Matt.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm great. How are you,
mentioned
Matt?
A word. Thanks. You mentioned the word a little bit ago, and I've been dying to hear this word. The word is competition.
Yeah.
Mike White has at least earned the right to compete on an even level with Zach Wilson for the starting quarterback job. Now, I don't know if Mike White's going to turn into a great player or whatever, but I see the team respond to him. I see that he understands the offense and the defenses. I see he can make plays under pressure. This guy deserves a chance to compete on an equal footing with Zach Wilson. Now, I know this wasn't the original plan with the Jets, but you know what? You got to be fluid. It's a fluid situation, especially the NFL, with injuries and everything else. So I want to see Mike White get a chance to compete on the same level as Zach Wilson. There's no anointing a quarterback. I'm not anointing Mike White the quarterback either.
No, you can't.
I'm saying I want an even-footed competition and may the best man win. That's all I want. And not only does the quarterback have to play good.
Well, you don't get that.
I have to see the team.
You're not going to get an even competition when they have as much invested in Zach Wilson as they do. Thanks for the call. Anthony Brown's a quarterback at Oregon. He was from BC. I'm thinking of the defensive end, Kayvon Thibodeau. But point is simply this. There aren't a lot of good answers there for Daniel Jones. And as far as Mike White and Zach Wilson, if you're hoping for true competition, I don't think that's what we're looking at in training camp next year if Mike White plays well the rest of the season. Again, if he does, you have an awesome, awesome problem on your hands. Awesome. But I'm not counting on that happening. Right now, though, I'm not taking the football out of Mike White's hands until he plays poorly. And I get it. You have to play Zach Wilson. You have to play Zach Wilson. Do I? Why is it a foregone conclusion that Zach Wilson is going to get damaged as a quarterback by sitting a little bit and watching? John in North Bergen is next, 98.7 ESPN. John, what's up, bud? How are you?
What's going on, Chris? How you doing, bro?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. Love listening to you on a Sunday morning, man. It's a real treat. So
I appreciate that. What do you got for me today?
All right. As a Giants fan, I've been a Giants fan since I was 9 years old. So, you know, I've seen the good, the bad, everything. But my thing is Daniel Jones has the tools. He has the tools. It's like what I'm trying to say is that it's not his fault why, you know, all the injuries. I know you were saying all the excuses, but, again, it's not his fault. It's the offensive line, you know, the injuries, like you said, all the excuses. And it comes a time that you got to stop the excuses, but it's not Daniel Jones's fault. And, again, he
Not his fault, don't you have to – hope that he can elevate some guys?
I mean, he does. Again, he has the tools. Again, like, you're like, elevate what? The third stringers? You know what I mean? Like, you know, the next man up because the starter is out.
But let me ask you a question.
And they're professionals.
Hang on a second. Doesn't it aggravate you when you hear coaches say, in one breath, next man up, we have to get the job done, there are no excuses, and then sometimes in the other breath, on the far side of it, when they're quietly, well, you know, we didn't have this guy, we didn't have that guy, what are we supposed to do?
Right.
If you're going to say it, you have to live by it.
I understand, Chris, you're right. I agree, but, you know, I mean, I don't know, I'm not a head coach, you know, but, I mean, what can he say? I mean, but it does come down to that. So, again, as a Giants fan, I think Daniel Jones has the tools to get the job done. But
John, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I think that he does have the tools. I just don't trust him enough to get it done. He does get a playmaker back today. We'll tell you about that. We'll go to MetLife Stadium next with Jordan Ronan, 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you. You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Pride is the devil. Live from Resorts World Catskills, Sportsbook 360, Carlin with you on a Sunday morning slash early afternoon, 800-919-3776, right up until 1 o'clock. Giants-Raiders kickoff at 1. Let us head out right now to MetLife Stadium and welcome in Jordan Ronan, who, of course, covers the Giants for ESPN New York. Jordan, good early afternoon. How are you?
You excited?
I am excited.
Excited or what?
It's a big Daniel Jones day. Okay. I think he's going to elevate everybody around him for a change, Jordan. We can stop making excuses for the quarterback.
Then I can, you know, put on my conductor hat and we can ride the train.
Jordan, so we were talking about this earlier, and I'm just curious to get your take on it. When you are trying to evaluate him as this, you know, continues, number one, mm-hmm. I'm looking at how people talk about him not having enough guys. What are you in, a 93 Chrysler Cordoba? What was that?
I
heard I heard like a bell behind the elevator. Oh, okay. It sounded like you just opened the door on a Cutlass Sierra. I'm sorry. I'm easily distracted. Here's the point, Jordan. With having as many guys out as they do, people are going to say this is unfair to try to evaluate him. But at what point do we just have to accept the fact that this is an evaluation that has to take place no matter who is going to be playing around him?
Yeah, I mean, look, it has to. This is year three. We can't say, not that it's his fault, right, because they just haven't put the right pieces around him. I mean, he's going to have a below-average bad offensive line this year. I mean, that's just what – it's not all of a sudden miraculously getting it good, but the thing that you hope for here is, especially in the second half of the season, because Saquon Barkley should be back, right? And then you look at Sterling Shepard, he should be back in a few weeks as well. Kadarius Toney and Kenny Galladay are on the field today. So you're going to have to make some sort of evaluation in the second half of the season after the bye week. They have a bye coming up next week. After that bye week, you know, that's the final real evaluation that you're going to get here. So, yeah, I mean, this is the time. There's no more, oh, well, look at the line around him, look at the weapons around him. This is what it's going to be. And you have to make that decision off what's there. Now, you might have to be a little bit creative with the evaluation, right, and say, okay, well, he was able to do this, but we also have to say, ultimately, we want to put a better offensive line around him and have a little bit better supporting cast than he's had so far. So there's going to be a lot of projection. That's part of it. I mean, that's the bottom line with this evaluation. Projection is going to remain part of it no matter how hard they try to not make that the case this year.
Jordan, how will the Giants go about deciding whose evaluation counts the most? Because at this point, no offense to him, I don't think that Dave Gettleman's evaluation really is going to end up counting for very much, especially since I don't know that he could look at it clearly considering he's the guy that he drafted.
Right. Well, let's be honest. The guy who is making the ultimate evaluation on Daniel Jones might not be part of the New York Giants right now, right?
Yeah.
So he might be making that evaluation from afar right now. We just don't know who it is. I don't think anybody knows who it is or who it might be, but that's the reality here is they – you know, continue going in the direction they are, it's going to be, I'd be very surprised. You know, you've already heard some rumblings about, you know, Giants sort of under the surface, you know, looking at general managers. If you're going to see Dave Gettleman make it through this season or, you know, into next year, so the evaluation is going to be in someone else's hands, quite frankly. And the information he gets is going to probably be from some of the people that are in the building, whether it's, you know, front office personnel, people that are there and that have been there forever, ownership, or likely Joe Judge.
Jordan Ronan from ESPN New York joining us right now. He's at MetLife Stadium. Giants Raiders coming up here in a bit. Okay, to today's game, and as you mentioned, Galladay and Toney are both back today. What else are we looking at here as far as the actives, inactives for the Giants?
Well, the injuries took care of most of it in regards to the inactive. Galladay and John Ross are active. They were questionable, so that's good news Kadarius Toney wasn't even on the final injury report. He had a gash on his finger, and let's be honest, he was limited last week with that ankle problem. But he's getting a little healthier. I think you should see a pretty good Kadarius Toney out on the field today. So at least it's some weapons to work with for Daniel Jones. Now, the one interesting inactive.
Yep.
Remember the guy who jumped offside late in that game last
exactly.
week?
Exactly.
Monday night?
Yep.
O'Shane Zimenez? Guess what? He is not active.
See,
so,
this says a lot to me because you look at the pre-snap problems that the Giants have had at times, and clearly the laps in training camp were not getting the message through. So this to me is Joe mm-hmm. Judge showing if you don't do it, you're just not going to be out there.
Yeah, there's going to be accountability. I think that's exactly what that is. I mean, on top of that, Shane Zimenez hasn't done much on the performance side pretty much since he got here. Which, by the way, the ironic part about the Shane Zimenez benching this game is, you know, that wide receiver that's going to be out on the market that everyone's talking about these days, that trade.
Yeah.
Yes, that was part of that trade. That was the pick that was part of that trade. So basically, it was Jabril Peppers who, you know, has been – it was an okay player here, never turned into anything special. Dexter Lawrence, who's a pretty solid player, and O'Shane Zimenez. So essentially, the Giants got Dexter Lawrence out of that deal, and O'Shane Zimenez is now not even active.
So here's my question. With the fact that Zimenez hasn't been as you said, all that productive, does it? I mean,
no.
He tries to send a message with it, but does it really send a message when it's somebody that you can replace easily enough?
I think it does. I think guys look around and say, hey, you know, we can't make those mistakes. Because there's a lot of fringe guys on the roster, right? And we got to remember, the roster is made up of mostly fringe guys. Like, that's what an NFL roster is in general. There's mm-hmm. a lot of guys that are, you know, replaceable, that are filling roles. So I think, you know, a good portion of that locker room that does that look around and say, hey, I have to be accountable, or I could be that guy who loses, you know, who's not active, who loses their spot on the roster, who then loses a paycheck. And this is a big deal to these guys. This is their ability to earn and earn a living. So I do think it definitely sends a message to the locker room that will be heard.
Jordan Ronan with us from MetLife Stadium, Giants, Raiders. Okay, Jordan, what are we looking at here today? The Raiders have been through more than their share of off-field issues
yeah.
this year, yet they're still
you
sitting
think?
There at 5-2 right now. How do you look at the Raiders coming east and having to play a 1 o'clock game after just an awful week that with
yeah.
the terrible tragedy of the loss of the young woman and the accident involving Henry Ruggs?
Awful situation, which is why you wonder, and I don't think anyone really has the answer. Like, how does this team, the guys that are left, that are remaining here, handle it after, you know, what they saw this week with a guy who was on their team, who, you know, did what he did, and I think we all can agree it was awful and terrible, and, you know, he's going to be in jail.
Yep.
He's not ever going to play in the NFL again. So, you know, these are situations I don't think you know how that team's going to react until they get on the field, right? And then let's be quite honest with this Raiders team. They've had a bunch of situations this year. Their coach is no longer there, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So far, they've handled it all relatively well, right? Because, like you said, they're 5-2. So they've proven to be resilient. That's a positive sign if you're looking at it from their perspective of like, yeah, they'll be able to handle this week. You know, they've been through stuff already this year. And handled it all seemingly in stride. But, you know, if you keep throwing stuff on, you know, piling it up and piling it up and piling it up, you wonder when it's going to have a negative impact on the team in regards to on-field results. So it'll definitely be an interesting thing to watch with this team. I think I actually picked the Giants in this game. I think they're at least going to keep it close, and I think they'll have a chance to win.
Okay, so what has you believing they're going to win this game? What are you looking at as the key factors today, Jordan?
Their defense has played better in the last few weeks, you know? I mean, you see signs of this defense playing like they were last year. So I think they can give Oakland. There, I said it. I knew
I know.
It was going to happen at some point. I mean, how many times do you say it this week, Keith?
I keep saying the San Diego Chargers.
So Las Vegas, it's a good team, but I mean the Giants' defense has done well over the last few weeks. So I think that's going to continue. I mean they're going to give Carr a lot of trouble. I mean a lot of looks, a lot of different things, and make life difficult for him and confuse him. So I think they could keep that number down. And finally, Daniel Jones on the other side of the ball has a little bit more on the weapons to work with. So they should be able to, you know, move the ball somewhat effectively. I think the key for them is, can they stop the edge rushers of Las Vegas with Yannick Ngakoue and Max Crosby? And we know the Giants' offensive line and their tackle problems in general. So they'll have to be able to run the ball a little bit to be able to try and hit some big plays. But having Galladay back, having Tony healthier, I think these are all things that should and will help the Giants today against Las Vegas. Las Vegas, I got it right there.
Hey, way to go. We did it, Jordan. We did
it. One of two. Hall of Fame in baseball, baby.
Enjoy the day today, Jordan. Appreciate it. Thanks.
I will. You too.
Jordan Ronna on ESPN New York covering the Giants. 800-919-3776. Lines are open. I am up at Sportsbook 360 at Resorts World Catskills. And this is my first time up here, and this place is just absolutely outstanding. Beautiful. It has got a great setup for the sportsbook, TVs all around the bar, anywhere you could possibly need one. You got all the action covered here, and you got the sportsbook right next door. You got kiosks everywhere. You cannot go wrong at this place. Absolutely love it. If you're around the area, you want to take a quick drive up to the Catskills, by all means, pop up, hang out. Be hanging out here after 1 o'clock watching the Giants game with some fans here. So by all means, do that. 800-919-3776. I still really haven't gotten the answer to the question, and some fans have called up with it, but the lines are open right now. What makes you believe that Jones is the guy, even though he hasn't had what he hasn't had around him this year? At some point, don't you have to step up and actually make a play? At some point? And elevate other players? Plus, Mike White has to play, in my estimation, until he's bad. And I know it was only two series the other night. It is not the worst thing in the world for Zach Wilson to continue to watch. Up next, though, oh, guess who's back? Odell Beckham is going to be on waivers as of tomorrow. And so there are 9 teams that have enough salary cap room to claim him right now. And if you claim him, it's $7.25 million. But he is already sending a message out there as to where he wants to go and where, more importantly, he doesn't want to go. We'll tell you about that next.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
I would jump in naked and swim around in that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
New York City Marathon update brought to you by TCS, Tata Consulting Services. All right, earlier on the women's side, it was Perez Jepchirchir, the women's pro winner. She had also won the gold medal at the Olympics in Tokyo, and she is from Kenya. And Albert Courier from Kenya is the men's marathon winner at 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 22 seconds. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Lines are open. Let's do it. Artie in Brooklyn. Artie, I don't have the chant here with me, so you're just going to have to deal, but something tells me you probably don't want to hear it today anyway.
Only a jet man would have to worry about a guy named Mike White. Mike, I know you, Chris, when I heard your take, it calmed me down a little bit. But still, this whole year was about the development of our number two pick, right? And they didn't bring anybody in. Everybody was talking about Nick Foles and stuff like that, right? So they didn't want to put any pressure on him. So what does this year end up? We play Mike White. And listen, I said, all right, listen, he didn't throw a ball past 10 yards. I in the air. We started. All right. We have a quarterback competition. Is this Matt Robinson and Richard Todd all over again? Help me get off this ledge, Chris. Thank you very much, buddy. I love you.
Listen, there are a few things at work here, Artie. Thanks for the call. Number one, Mike White should play until he plays poorly or until he makes some mistakes. And that doesn't have anything to do with Zach Wilson. When the guy played as exceptionally well as he did against the Bengals, and he had two series and one really good one against the Colts before he got hurt, if he's healthy, he should play. Because, you know, sooner or later you're going back to Zach Wilson anyway. So you may as well give the other younger players on this roster, of which there are many, with the Jets being the, what, second or first, depending on the day, youngest team in the NFL. Need to learn how to win. And it's not just, yes, it's about the development of Wilson. I understand that. But, you know, there can actually be development from sitting back and watching, too. Yes, you have to go out and play, and you have to face it and understand how to change your game. But at the same time, I can't remember the last time we saw a really good player whose development was hurt by waiting a little while. God, we all want him to be great immediately, and I almost said you, but I'm there too. We all want him to be great immediately. Patrick Mahomes didn't play 15 games until he got his first shot. Sat out almost an entire season before he got a chance. So the point is, just understand that you have to let a guy go on his own timetable here. And as for White, if he's winning, he should play. Now, before we get back to the calls, we got a couple guys on hold. You've been patient. I'll get to you in one sec. Odell Beckham. Because it feels like at this point, we're almost contractually obligated every time his name comes up to talk about him. How about this morning from Adam Schefter? So Beckham is going to be on waivers as of tomorrow, and he would clear waivers on Tuesday. There are currently 9 teams that could claim him and cover his salary right away. Okay? So only 9 teams have the cap room right now to claim Odell Beckham Jr. They are the Bengals, the Jaguars, the Eagles, the Broncos, the Seahawks, the Panthers, the Chargers, the Steelers, and Washington. Okay? So think about that for a second. You're not exactly murderer's row there. Patriots are not on that list. You know, the Chiefs are not on that list. They don't have the cap room to immediately claim him. They could sign him the next day if he clears waivers, but if one of those teams claims him, he ends up there. And, of course, it goes in order based on worst record to first. So, having said that, Odell today, according to Adam Schefter, some people who are, quote, familiar with Odell's thinking, in other words, his lackeys, or even Odell himself, who I would think would be familiar with his own thinking, but at times I would question that. Those who are familiar with Odell's thinking believe that he wants to go to a contender because he feels like that's where he would be happy and be best used. But if he ends up on a team that is not a contender, that team could, quote, potentially have some issues. What are those issues? Well, they're nonspecific. Here's the point. Odell is threatening the Jaguars, the Eagles, the Broncos, maybe the Panthers, maybe the Seahawks. Don't pick me up. Don't bother, because I'm going to be a pain in your ass. That's just the way it is. Get ready to deal with it. Boy, he's a special guy, isn't he? That would make me want to run to add him to my locker room. And we could talk all we want about how other players love him and all that stuff. Listen, he could go somewhere and do what Randy Moss did when he went to the Patriots, all right? But when he's, in essence, threatening teams not to pick him up already, haven't we seen enough at that point? Yes, the talent is still there. At least we think it is. We're told that it is. But, you know, it's not worth it. The juice is not worth the squeeze, as they say. Chris in Hasbrook Heights is next, 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Chris, what's going on?
What's going on, Chris? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Leave it up to another guy named Chris to give you the definitive answer you're looking for as far as Daniel Jones goes. He's not the answer, Chris. I think you're correct when you say that the Giants will probably win 3 or 4 more games this year. But with that said, I definitely think that there's a teardown. And when we look at Daniel Jones, what's his skill set? He's an above-average runner from the quarterback position, above-average arm, but he's still making the same mistakes that he was making in the first year that he came into the league. Same thing as Sam Darnold. So I think that he's got to go. You look to the draft or you look to a free agency for another quarterback.
Listen, there's not going to be, you're never going to get the quarterback in free agency, okay? The Tom Brady, Peyton Manning thing happens so rarely, it's more likely to be in a trade. But the only guy that you'd even think about or look at would be Russell Wilson at that point.
Well, as a Jets fan, I just want to touch quickly on the Jets situation. At this point, I heard you say that, you know, we have a lot invested in Zach Wilson. I mean, How many other first-round picks have we wasted over the past decade, even 20 years? If you can find a guy off the street at this point that can throw 400 yards a game, you put him in.
No, you can't. No, you can't. I mean, that's not.
A guy that plays in the Bronx every weekend, put him in.
Yeah, that's not fair to Mike White, and thanks for the call. It's not fair to Mike White. Yeah, he's been a journeyman, but he's been in the league for 3-4 years now, and the guy came in and took advantage of a great opportunity. If you think the Jets are moving on from Zach Wilson, if Mike White has a few more couple of good games, I mean, you're nuts. You're absolutely nuts. The Jets are going to ride out the Zach Wilson situation as long as they can. As long as they can. They want him to be the guy. But if he and Mike White are both there at the end of the year and you and I are sitting here questioning as to who should start, that's a good thing. Because it means that Mike White played well. It means that the Jets have another asset that they didn't necessarily count on having.
You're listening to Chris Carlin.
Yeah, like I'm the Gordon Gekko of fat guys.
On 98.7 ESPN.